Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 20th, 2020. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 151, the last paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Santa H. reading the 12 Steps, Pam Q. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Leslie M., Devorah S., and Leah S. Our share IDs for yesterday, Sunday, special edition is 14,468. That's 14468. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, is 14,471 or 14471. Our newcomer greeter today is Mary B., and making announcements at the end of the meeting will be Dawn B., and a special thank you to Mo H. for doing the recording for us. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Santa H. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And these are the steps we took. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I want to wish everyone a marvelous day. And I pass.
Thank you, Santa H., for your service. And Pam Q., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA? Pam, press star 1 to unmute.
This is Pam Q. Can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you, Pam.
Okay, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group ought to be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, thus problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam Q., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We will read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on the bottom of page 151, the last paragraph that begins, "Now and then a serious drinker." And I will ask Leslie M. to get us started. Leslie?
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy K., for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Now and then, a serious drinker, being dry at the moment, says, "I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time." As ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a sally. We know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark to keep up his spirits. He fools himself. Inwardly, he would give anything to take a half a dozen drinks and get away with them. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life without alcohol. Someday, he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. you know, this reading, this paragraph really speaks to me because I've been in OA this year, it's 30 years. And for 28 of those years, I was the boy whistling in the dark, trying to tell everybody, convince other people and myself that, yeah, everything's great. Oh, yeah, my program's fine. My food's fine. No problem. You know, when the truth was that I would have given anything to have, you know, to break my abstinence for those periods that I was abstinent. And then there were a lot of other periods when I wasn't abstinent and simply lying about, you know, exactly what I was doing. It talks here at the end, someday he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. And it talks about the jumping off point. And I'm so grateful to have gotten to that jumping off point, to know, to have seen very clearly in my life that a thought got into my head. I had been 7 weeks entirely abstinent, and a thought got into my head, and I ended up right back in the food. So at that point, in my surrender, I knew that I was not only powerless over the food, but that I was also powerless over my thinking. And my jumping off and surrender point was that if I didn't do something different this time, that I would, the food would be my master. Food would be in charge of my life for the rest of my life. And so I knew that I needed to give this, these directions a real shot. Do exactly what I was told. I wasn't terminally unique. I had to do everything just the way it was written. And having done that, I have been entirely abstinent since February of 2018. And I'm very, very grateful for it. But it also says he was not happy about his sobriety. And that's the difference today, is that I am happy about my abstinence and having the mental obsession removed, that happiness has returned to my life. And I'm very, very grateful for it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Leslie M., for getting us started. Okay, I'm going to take some names, but I want to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'd like to hear from people who haven't shared in the last couple of days. Who would like to share?
Matt and
Marley. I'd be happy to share. My name is Julie.
Wait a second. Did I hear Matt M?
Matt F.
F. Matt F. Thank you. Okay, next.
Stephen.
Marley S.
Stephen. Stephen who?
Stephen G.
G. Okay. Sorry, you all speaking together, so it's hard for me to hear. Who's next?
Marley
Julie?
S.
Julie, and your last initial?
N, like Nancy.
Okay, great. Thank you, Julian.
Sure.
Laura Lee S. in Denver?
Laura Lee S., is that right?
That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. And perhaps one more?
Linda D.
Linda D. Okay, great. So I have Matt F., Stephen G., Julie N., Laura Lee S., Bruce E., and Linda D. Please get us started, Matt F.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Matt F., a compulsive overeater from Philadelphia, living in Chicago. I gave a lead yesterday, and I found myself saying that that I feel like my journey in this program has been pretty weird. And one of the weird things about it is I got ambushed by it. I wasn't looking for a solution. I didn't even know that I had the problem. I knew that I was clinically obese, but I didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater. In fact, I thought the whole notion of a compulsive overeater for someone like me, right, because I'm unique, for someone like me was BS, but not just the initials. And when I found it and it took hold so quickly, and by quickly I mean in about 5 seconds, I wasn't out of ideas. I wasn't desperate. And I have always struggled a little with that notion of you have to hit bottom. You have to have a place of desperation. You have to be out of ideas. I wasn't. I still have ideas. It's just that I wasn't holding on to any of those ideas when I got jumped in the back alley by the notion that I was a compulsive overeater, that there were some foods that once I started, I couldn't stop, and I couldn't stop from starting. And I say this and share this not because I reject the notion that desperation, that being out of ideas, that hitting bottom are the path into recovery for the vast majority of people. But for anyone on the line who is waiting for desperation or waiting for willingness, maybe you don't need to wait. Maybe you can just start. Maybe you can just suit up and show up and start doing the work. And maybe it will take hold for you the way that it did for me. You know, it's, correlation is not causation. The fact that the vast majority of people do hit bottom, are desperate, are out of ideas before they can recover, doesn't mean that it's an absolute requirement. And I know that that's a little heretical because it's not exactly what the big book says, but I'm living proof. So I just, it felt important to me to share that this morning. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Matt F. Stephen G., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. It's Stephen G., a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Great to be here this morning. Thank you for your service, moderator. And so, yeah, I've been TAPSPEN for 8 years and been in listening to the Vision for You morning meetings for about 2.5 years. And, you know, when I read this paragraph, the part that really stands out to me is someday you will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. And I'm grateful to actually have been there. I mean, this disease brought me to, you know, the thought of suicide because I couldn't see a way out. The eating had become so uncomfortable and so miserable. And the not eating had become so uncomfortable and so miserable. When I was in the OA rooms outside of Vision for You, there was a motto that people use, which was abstinence tastes better than any food or something like that along those lines. And I remember thinking how ridiculous that is. And looking at it now, it isn't true because abstaining from my alcoholic foods and behaviors is just the first part. And when I do that, it makes me very uncomfortable. I'm restless, irritable, and I'm discontent. The thing that makes me more peaceful than anything the food could provide is the spiritual solution. So the statement should really be abstinence plus the spiritual solution feels better than any food could. And in order to do the things required for the spiritual solution, I had to be at the bottom. I had to be unable to imagine life either with alcohol and without, or with alcohol or without it, i.e. with my alcoholic foods or without it. And I had to know a loneliness such as few people do. And when I felt that, then I was willing to take the steps to actually have that spiritual experience, get rid of that mental obsession, and get rid of that restlessness, irritableness, and discontentness. And that's when I actually fully recovered and became peaceful and became happy and able to lead a normal life. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. Julie N., please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Julie from New York City. I am a compulsive eater and bulimic and could not be more grateful for all of you beautiful people, as I like to say. I am abstinent a day at a time over 30 years, and this big book might as well be called Julie's Book because there I am. And I also identify with these ideas of not being able to live with it or without it, and the loneliness, the I don't know what the word is, but just the complete, it's not a word, but bereftness, you know, being so bereft that, yeah, not almost not wanting to live. I am like such a low bottom case. I could not stop binging on shopping bags of food, and I don't do that a day at a time for now over half my life. And every day I wake up and it is, I'm incredulous, just incredulous that it has been removed, and it is contingent on my spiritual condition. What struck me about this line, with or without, it reminds me of the U2 song, With or Without You. And I thought, even in abstinence, in food abstinence, I find that things pop up. It's sort of like a jack in the box. You know, it's very cunning, baffling, and powerful. And there are times when it's like, or have been times over the years where I don't know how I could live without a certain food, let's say, or food behavior. And I've kicked and screamed, and thank goodness for a sponsor who has more patience and love than anyone I've known and doesn't judge. But a couple of times she was like, you know what, I can't listen to this. You know, this sounds screwy. And I have had to make a decision. And I'll tell you, I had to think about it a couple of times. I'm like, no, I don't want to. This food is fine. It's measured. I'm having it. And here's this person who has what I want. She's telling me this doesn't sound right. And I didn't want to let go, but I did. And, you know, every time I do, it's like the thing that I want the most, whether it's a piece of food or it's something in life, the thing I hold on to the most is the thing that I could do best to let go of. And, man, when I do, I again know this beautiful fourth dimension life that I don't know on my own without all of you. It's a higher power, and I'm an atheist, but I use the acronyms gratitude over despair and good orderly direction, gift of desperation, group of drunks, and dogs backwards. Oh, and I heard another one, the great outdoors. So all these ideas come to me, and they help me a day at a time, and all I have to know is that it's not me. And I am that boy singing in the dark, and but not just for today. You know, it's somewhere else in our literature, maybe the 12 and 12, where it talks about it's the great equalizer, you know. Like, I also don't have to worry about telling anybody else how it works. I just share my experience. I mean, sometimes I see somebody close to me, and I want to say, oh, you know, there's this answer. And it's attraction rather than promotion, and it's also this great equalizer where, you know, the boy whistling in the dark. Okay, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie. And Lori Lee S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Lori Lee S. in Denver. I've been on this meeting before as Laura S., but there's so many other Laura S.'s on the phone meetings I've been on. I'm going to go with my middle name here as Laura Lee now. I'm 5 weeks abstinent today, and I'm so grateful. And I woke up just feeling so joyous and free. I am no longer looking at the clock. When is my next meal? I'm no longer looking around. Where is my bag of food that I used to carry around with me everywhere? It's just such a gift, but reading this paragraph, this is so exactly what I was doing. I had so many periods when I was able to control my compulsive eating, so I thought, and stick to what I called my food plan for weeks, and think, okay, now I've got it, you know, now I can do it. And it's the progression that really got me. It got to a point where, you know, those periods got shorter and shorter, and then they ended, and then it just got so much worse. And I could not picture life without eating like that, but I knew I was going to die. And so that's, you know, why I got on the phone meeting at what for me is 8 o'clock in the morning. And I, even the first week, you know, in OA, I got a sponsor, I called people, I wasn't binging, but I could not imagine this as any sort of long-term solution. I really looked at it as, you know, I'll do this for a month or so, I'll get my shit together, excuse my language, and then, you know, I'll be okay. But, you know, listen to everyone talk about their freedom. I got to say, I really want that. I wanted that. That's why I stuck around, and I feel like I'm tasting a little of that today, and I'm so grateful that I am no longer whistling in the dark. That was exactly me. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura Lee S. Bruce E., please share with us.
That's me, Bruce E., down in Florida. I'm recovered now. Excuse me. Thanks, everybody on the call. Yeah, the little boy whistling in the dark. I mean, that was me when, from 5 years old up to about 11 or 12 or sometime, finally got over that little boy whistling and scared of the dark all the time. But then I get in the program, you know, of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm in the program 25 years, and I'm back to the little boy whistling in the dark again. And 25 years, I couldn't get sober. I couldn't get abstinent. I mean, I'd get two or three, you know, I'd get, it's like it says here, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. I wasn't happy about my sobriety that whole time in OA. And because I kept slipping, you know, I kept doing that. It was always this anything to take a dozen drinks and get away with it, because I couldn't get off of my alcoholic foods, but I didn't know about them, you know, and I thought I was eating abstinently, but I wasn't. I kept falling back into this binge thing and take a half a dozen drinks and get away with it. So I didn't really want to get into this program, this vision either, because I was thinking, okay, I don't want to do all the work. I don't want to put down all these foods, and I don't want to, you know, I don't think I can do it anyway. I don't think I can get what those guys have got. But finally did it, made up the list of my alcoholic foods, got a sponsor first in the list, and then started on these steps and got recovered. So I'm not this little boy anymore that's whistling in the dark. I'm not do anything to take a half a dozen drinks. I'm not thinking that way anymore, you know, that I thought for years. And I'm happy about my sobriety now because I'm recovered. So things did change. Things got better. And they are better. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Linda D., please share with us.
Hi, my name's Brenda D., and, well, sometimes I let go of one food group in particular, and so I was, for a long time, satisfied with that, and then my sponsor wanted me to take more of things away. But I could see the danger in that first food group, but I couldn't see the danger in the others. And so she let me go. And but the good thing that has come of that is I got off that food group I felt was hurting me, and I feel more that it's my choice whether or not I want to let go of any other types of food groups. And the other thing is I'm attending more meetings, phone meetings. I wasn't attending enough meetings. And I felt like, for a long time, I felt exactly like the book read, that I was abstinent, but I wasn't happy with my abstinence. And that's really all I've got. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I want to make sure, is it Brenda D. or Linda D.?
Brenda with a B. It's Brenda with a B.
Okay, Brenda. Thanks very much for your share.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm available to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Lauren M. from British Columbia.
Okay, Lauren N.
Cynthia C.
Yep.
Cynthia C.
Rosie G.
Was that Maisie?
Rosie
C.
Oh, Rosie.
Natalie.
C.
Pamela R. B.
Who was after Rosie C? Who was after Rosie? Say that again.
Natalie.
Pamela
R.
B.
Okay, Natalie B. and Pamela B. And I can take one more name.
Sherry Josie.
I'm sorry, the phone broke up. Did you get Natalie B?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I have Lauren N., Cynthia C., Rosie C., Natalie B., Pamela B., and Sherry Jo C. Okay, Lauren N., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Lauren, compulsive overeater. I'm really in that place, actually, of being unable to live with the food and without the food. I've been in and out of this program and in and out of abstinence for about 30 years, just coming back from a relapse. And this is like the first time really being at a live meeting, but I really love what everybody has to say. I'm definitely looking for a sponsor, and I don't know how to do that. But I've been abstinent 7 days now, and still struggling. Right? Don't know how to live without it. Don't know if I want to live without it. Being angry that I have to live without it, and I don't. It's not a comfortable place. So I know that in the past and in other programs, working the steps is what works. And it's really good to hear everybody with long-term abstinence, and with that, I pass.
Okay, thank you, Lauren, and please stay around at the end of the meeting. We will ask for available sponsors so that you can get some names to call, and that happens at the end of every Vision for You meeting.
Thanks.
Kurt, would you mind telling us where we read, please?
Page 151, the third paragraph, which begins, "Now and then a serious drinker."
Thank you.
Sure. Cynthia C., please share with us.
This is Cynthia C. May I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for your service, moderator, and for everybody who makes this meeting happen. I'm so grateful. Cynthia C., recovered compulsive eater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts, and I, it hit me today and yesterday. Like, I lost track of the days between the Jewish holiday of Passover, which sort of takes over my life and working and, you know, being at home and having the days all be so different or the same, today is actually my 3-year anniversary in recovery. I came into program February of 2017, just absolutely 100% desperate. I was a sobbing, crying mess. I went to a local, I guess it was a 90-day meeting, and I literally heard someone telling my story, and I sobbed through the entire meeting. And I had I couldn't do it anymore, and I was just so willing. I just was so willing to turn to God and to change my conception of who I thought God was. And what I thought life was, and it's just amazing that, you know, when I let go, and it took me a little while to start taking on a food plan, and I did, and I was abstinent, and like a few weeks, it wasn't so long. I really was desperate, like somebody just you know, in a drought, and I got water, and I was desperate for it, and you know, and I went into Passover, and other people said to me, oh, you know, if you pray right, or if you ask God, then you can have matzah, and matzah is okay. And there are all these people in another way group that I was in who were saying, yes, you can have matzah, it's okay, you just need to pray for it differently. And I was like, okay, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And you know, I was face first in bags of potato chips over a Passover. I didn't pick up my specific alcoholic foods, but I was binging my way through Passover 2017, and the day after Passover ended was April 20th. That was my first day of abstinence and really fully surrendering. And the promises have absolutely come true in my life today, absolutely. And I can't imagine going through this pandemic, I just, in the food, and I know so many people are out there, and I know I would just be binging the whole time. So I get it. If you're a newcomer, if you're still struggling, I totally get what you're going through. I you know, and even though there are days that are hard for me, there are days I have grief and sadness for people in our family that we've lost during this time, and you know, and our quarters are really tight at home, and you know, there's struggles. It's hard. But you know, I'm not alone. I have a lot to be grateful for, and I can just say that, like, if the promises have come true for me, I'm nobody special. I'm just another Joe on the bus, or whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, if it comes true for me, it absolutely can come true for all of you out there. You know, and I think about, what does surrender mean? And it really, I think about surrender is just exhale. You know, it is the same thing as exhaling. When I can let the breath out, we feel that surrender in our body, the deep breath, that is what surrendering to my higher power is. It's just letting go, you know. And when I say things like, I need to, I should, I have to, those are triggers. That's reminding me that those are words that show that I'm still trying to be in control. And I have no control. I have absolutely no control. I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what's best for anybody else. All I can do, you know, is work the steps. Today I have 12 steps that are a guide for my life in all of my affairs. And I am so grateful to all of you for the support and the meeting and being able to check in, and that I don't ever have to do this on my own ever, ever, ever again. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Rosie C., please share with us.
Hi. My name is Rosie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I was, you know, reading the paragraphs with you guys, and yeah, definitely, I've been able to keep a certain amount of weight off, and that's been wonderful. But I know that I'm not abstinent, and I know that. Physically, emotionally, or spiritually, I'm not free of this disease. And it's, you know, I don't know why I haven't been able to go the rest of it, but this whole thing with the pandemic just kind of like threw me off and just started to eat things that I know are going to get me that weight loss that I have back. So it just kind of like, oh my God, you know, because I'm like, you know, I've had some like really bad days, and it just scares me. I mean, it's, this disease is, it's detrimental. It's like the virus, you know, it kills you. So anyway, just wanted to be present in the meeting. I needed to say that to get it out there, and just to be with you guys, and just to be grateful that, you know, there's other people that can talk about this stuff, because nobody out of OA rooms can understand, or, you know, they have all these other, oh, just gonna die, what's wrong? You know, that's not me. I don't know what the heck it is. It's my disease. And you say that to somebody and they look at you like you're nuts. Anyway, thank you for being there. And that's it.
Thank you, Rosie C. Natalie B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Natalie, recovering compulsive overeater. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see the reading. I don't want to be in denial, and it's so great. When I read that reading, it's been easy for me over the years to just try to hide or be in denial or slip away or think that everything's okay. I want to say that I've mastered this, or I found my solution. And I have. Coming to the meetings makes a great deal of difference to me. But I know that just even in this, you know, as I've been, you know, right before the pandemic hit, I came back to program after 2 years away. And I had been in such denial that you know, I went to the doctor, I got on the scale, I hadn't gone to the doctor in a minute, and I was shocked, you know, and I couldn't believe I'd been lying to myself. And so coming back in right before the pandemic has been a lifesaver. But every time I veer away from doing the meetings or working the steps or being conscious, having conscious contact with my higher power around these issues, I think, yeah, I'm okay, and I'm judging others. And then it starts to, you know, I'm nibbling here and nibbling there, or whatever it is, whatever the disorder the eating is, or I'm restricting, or I'm deep in my body dysmorphia, or BED. And the next thing I know, it's out of control. But, you know, it's such a blessing to be here. I'm so grateful for your service. I'm so grateful to be able to share. I'm so grateful that these things are, have always been here, and that my higher power has orchestrated my recovery. And am I, is there perfection? No. But is there progress? Yes. And I am getting better, and I will get better, and I trust my higher power and my journey with people and food and underlying issues and resentments and all these things. It's all there for me to explore without me having to justify it to anybody or try to lie to myself. And so for that, I'm so grateful. So thank you so much for this beautiful meeting. I'm just truly, truly grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie B., for your share. Pamela B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Pamela B. as in boy from Detroit. So grateful to be here this morning, and thank you so much, moderator, for being able to hear me call. Oh, boy, what a passage, you know. When I think about this particular passage, it reminds me of how deep my denial can be. You know, I've been in this program 14 years, and I've been in and out of the rooms in September, at a vision 2017 that I attended in New Jersey. It became very apparent to me that for all of those years, I was in a deep denial of many things. The fact that, you know, I could eat like normal people, or, you know, I could leave it alone and then pick it back up. But what I realized every time I did, the disease just got progressively worse, you know. This is something that, you know, when I came back in 2017, I was told that this disease is fatal and the only solution is a spiritual solution. And I had to completely surrender. And thank you so much for a share that was just shared. It's like, you know, taking a deep breath and letting it out. And that's what I felt once I was willing to become 100% honest. See, I always wanted to hold back a little bit, you know, not completely be honest, as it was shared the other day in a special edition. You know, I wasn't going to give it all. You know, I held back a little bit. And omission is a big issue, or has been a big issue in my previous recovery before now. And I can't omit anything, even my emotions, you know. I have to dive deep, and that's why it's important that I work with others, because sometimes, again, I can't even see. I can't see it, you know. So I love this passage because it reminds me of another passage somewhere in the big book, and I was trying to find it. And that passage goes something like this, where this guy comes up out of the cellar, and he looks around, and there was a big tornado that occurred, or something like that. And he came up out of the cellar and he says, "Don't see nothing wrong here, Mom. Ain't life grand?" And that's the way I felt. Every time I got a new program, a new diet, a new idea about losing weight, paid away. You know, I didn't see anything wrong until I came to the rooms and I was given the opportunity to actually diagnose myself. I am a compulsive overeater, and only with the help of my higher power and this community can I stay on this side of the street. Thanks for letting me share, and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for your share, Pamela B. Sherry Jo C., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so very much. This is Sherry Jo C., a recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. I wanted so much to share on this chapter or this paragraph. I love it so much. I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989 and became abstinent by the grace of God and my amazing home group, Back to Basics Abstinence Group, and on April 19th of 1989. And so yesterday was my 31 years, and I'm ever grateful. When I read this paragraph, it takes me back to the beginning, to what it felt like. My heart really goes out to those that are still suffering, particularly at this time when it's so easy to feel even more, especially lonely. But it takes me back to that, the whistling in the dark, how, you know, a boy whistling in the dark. And what it reminds me of is how for so many years, I mean, I've been a compulsive eater ever since I was a small child. My dad took home movies before people even had, you know, handy cams or whatever. He had a reel. He would play the reels in our basement. I have home movies of myself as a three-year-old taking candy to feel better. And maybe a lot of small children do that. But for me, you know, the minute that I had my binge food or whatever it was, it changed the way I felt. It numbed me out. It made life possible. And I was that boy whistling in the dark in the beginning because I thought, I'm abstinent. I thought, thank God it's over now. You know, and what I realized later was I had just entered into a period of restriction. I mean, I had always mostly been a compulsive, out-of-control eater. Bottom of the barrel, dig it out of the garbage, can't stop, throw it out the car window because I don't want to do it anymore, drive back, get some more craziness, total craziness. And so when I was in those periods of restriction, I always thought, ooh, thank God it's over with. I remember once I was on an overseas program. I was in Spain for 3 months. I got so sick eating street food. I was lying on the floor of the apartment of the family that I lived with, and I was so sick, and I thought, thank God, this is going to do it. I won't ever do that again. Oh, God. The next day, the minute I was feeling better, I was back out there again. So, you know, for me, when I came into the program, it took me about 6 months, and I would get abstinent, I would lose it, I would get abstinent, I would lose it. And then I went to a party. I had just broken up with someone who I thought I was in love with, and I was at this party, and I looked at all the food on the table, and I thought, I just want to binge my brains out. And I had this thought or feeling or something, sensation, that if I do it now, I'm going to do it forever. Because I used to say this to myself in the middle of a binge. I'd say, Sherry, when are you going to stop? Like, it has to stop at some point. And that night, I didn't eat any of that food. I had, I think, a few Swedish meatballs and some carrot sticks, and I went home. And I got on my knees in front of the sliding glass window of or door of the apartment that I lived in, and I cried, and I just said, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And I think that's the jumping off place. You know, when you're jumping off, what are you jumping off into? You have no idea. We have no idea what we're jumping off into. We haven't done this before. It feels
that's
like
time.
It feels like we're jumping off into nothing, but we're jumping off into everything, and I'm just so very grateful. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry Jo C., and thank you, everyone who has shared today and listened today. What a wonderful meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Devorah S., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, here I am. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all. 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you have in God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.